In it, we have contained a pretty good expose of the ministry of John the Baptist. So that's what I titled this message, The Ministry of John the Baptist. However, his message consisted of two primary things. And you, if you read the marquee this morning, read them on the marquee. Repentance and Jesus Christ. How would you like to go out to preach and have a whole city and all the county of Brevard County and the regions all around the St. John's River come out to hear you preach? Yeah, oh boy. That would light a preacher's fire, but you as a servant of the Lord, child of God, member of the Lord's church, and your responsibility to preach, it all light your fire too. To go and begin maybe with one individual. Begin to enter into a conversation about repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ. And pretty soon, it's not just one, pretty soon there's a handful of people, and pretty soon there's more. What an exciting thing that would be. I can only imagine. Concerning John the Baptist, Jesus said in the book of Luke in chapter 7 and verse 28, "Among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." And, speaking of John the Baptist, Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 5 and verse 35, "He was a burning and a shining light." Testimony of Christ Himself concerning John the Baptist. And so, because we have it on such high authority, it is fitting for us this morning to take a look at his ministry, and particularly as it is portrayed here in chapter 3 of Matthew, in verses 1 through 12. The first thing we want to notice is that he spoke plainly about sin. We must, in preaching, we must let men know that they are sinners. Otherwise, if they are not sinners, why do they need to repent? So he spoke plainly about sin. Verse 1 said, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea." Now, this was not a wilderness as we think of a wilderness. We think of a wilderness as is maybe a desert land or some place like this. Wilderness can mean it's a wilderness because it's sparsely populated. It's less populous than the city. We know that in the wilderness of Judea, in this region of Judea, that during the days of Joshua, there were six cities in that wilderness of Judea. And in the days of Christ, there were small cities in Judea. So it's not a wilderness as we think. But he came preaching to those small areas that are less populous, where people, but nonetheless where people were. And saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He spoke plainly about sin, and he spoke about the necessity of repentance. Repent ye! You must repent because you're sinners. He taught the absolute necessity of repentance for salvation. In verse 6, he said, "And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." That is, because they had confessed their sins, they were confessing their sins. They were saying, "I am a sinner." They were saying the same things about their sin that God says about our sins, which they didn't do until the Holy Spirit of God had enlightened them. And then the message of the gospel, repentance, came. Repent. They were aware of their sinfulness. Began confessing their sins. And because they had confessed their sins, John was baptizing them. Listen, all men need to hear this. They need to hear that they're dead in trespasses and sins, and they're blind to spiritual things. I encounter men all the time and women all the time that say, "Well, I believe. I'm a believer." Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a believer. But have you repented? Have you repented? You see, true belief is always accompanied with true repentance. It's a necessitates that. It's a necessity. Men say, "I believe," but they've never repented. Well, what they're saying is, "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ came, and yes, that He was the Son of God, and yes, that as history says, he was put to death on a cross, and yeah, we celebrate His resurrection, you know, at Easter time. Yeah, I believe that's what they're saying." You see, it's nothing more than up here, a mental assent to historical facts. They're not fully persuaded that He is their Savior based on the fact of His coming and going to the cross of Calvary and being resurrected again. Jesus came in the book of Mark in chapter 1, and just to let you know that the gospel entails and accompanies repentance. Notice what Mark tells us of Jesus' ministry in John in Mark 1:14. "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Oh? Well, what did that entail? And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance and faith. You must repent of your sins toward God and have faith toward Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. That's why Paul said he had not shunned to testify to Jew and Gentile. Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. That is the message of the gospel. Jesus, in the book of Luke, chapter 13, and verse 3, said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And verse 5, he repeated himself again, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I don't care that you say you're a believer. If you've not repented, you're going to perish. Amen. You see, I'm excited. Every time I get to have a conversation with that one little lady that comes walking by here, just about the time, I wonder if she purposes to do that or what. If she's looking out her window to see when I'm going out to change the marquee. But I love to speak with her. And she notices and she reads the sign. And yesterday she had a question about what had been up there previously in a worthy manner. And I explained to her the thoughts and the message behind that and so forth. And she said, and what's today? Repentance and Jesus Christ. She says, oh, I know that one. She said, repentance. But she says, it's not just repentance. Repentance is a turning from sin. And a turning to Jesus Christ. Turning to God. You see, I told me, she has some truth. I haven't asked her where she goes to church or anything of that sort. But she's showing me through these conversations that she has some truth. She knows some truth. And I thought as I was finishing the other side of the marquee after she went away and so forth, and we had finished up our conversation and everything, I thought, you know, it appears to me it's just one person. But how many other people? She says, before she left, she says, you provoke my thinking. You provoke my thing. Hey, that's what a title is supposed to do, and that's why I try to put them on the marquee. Well, how many other people read that? I never get to talk to, but it provokes their thinking. It gets them to thinking. Hey, the Lord can use that to His honor and glory. Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. We have Peter expounding here. He said, verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a cross. Speaking to Jews, Him hath God exalted with His right hand. That is, God hath exalted Jesus Christ with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. You see, it's through repentance that comes the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of our sins. And He said, Peter in the Acts chapter 11, expounding what had taken place with the Gentiles, with Cornelius and those Gentiles and so forth. He said that like God has likewise given to them, the Gentiles, the same like gift of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Now, John also preached of necessity, repentance brings forth fruits. Just as that lady beat me to the draw, she says, repent, you got to turn. You got to turn from a past way of life. You got to turn from sins and turn to something different. Well, that's what John said. He's preaching the necessity of fruits that are fitting, that manifest that you have repented. There's a change that takes place. I say, oftentimes, a radical change. Look at verses 7 and 8. He said, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, whom he had not preached to, he knew they weren't there to hear the preaching, the message of repentance, the message of the gospel. He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Listen, you say you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? You say you repented of your sins? Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? You see, I have new desires. I hate it. When I say, it's obvious I don't hate it like I ought to. But I hate it when I sin. Why? Because it's against God. And I'm of like mind with God. You see. Do you hate it when you sin? Do you hate it when you do wrong? Many men profess to believe to be believers. That is, they have a form of religion. They have a guise of religion. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. And here in 2 Timothy, if you know your Bible, and you should, you know that this is talking about the last times, the last days, and list a whole host of things that are going to be prevalent in those times. But notice verse 5. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They have a form, they have a guise, they have a cloak that they are religious, they have a cloak that they are a guise that they have piety towards God. But in their life, they're denying the power of a godly life. They're denying the power of godliness. See? If God's power has worked upon you, we all see signs and evidences of it in your life. That's what John was saying, was preaching. That's what Paul is telling Timothy here, that men are going to have a form of religiousness, of piety towards God, but in their life and in their actions, they deny the very power of God. John, the book of John in chapter 15, in verse 16, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, ye may give it you." That ye should go and bring forth fruit. What fruit? Works that are pleasing to God. The works of God. We ought to be bringing forth the works of God. Which is what? Well, Paul said in the book of Galatians, to the Galatians, he said, faith worketh by what? Agape. By love. By love. Well, you see, the man who has truly repented and believed, had faith towards Jesus Christ, because the love of God is shed abroad in his heart, he stops his drunkenness. He stops his drunkenness out of love for his family, out of love towards God first, and out of love towards his family. A man who has truly repented towards God and had faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, out of love, out of agape towards God and towards his fellow man, he quits being an adulterer. Because that woman's husband is his fellow man. That man who goes out and goes to bed with another man's daughter, he stops doing that out of love to God and out of love to that father who is the father of that daughter. You see, and on and on and on, we can go with every sin, a life of sin that they were living before repentance and faith. When repentance and faith comes, they stop it. See, not that we stop sinning entirely, but we don't go on in that way, in that life style, is what John said. Then secondly, he spoke plainly about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 3. "For this is he that was spoken of by Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Verse 11. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but unto repentance, I baptize you with water upon your repentance," would be a better translation. That "unto" can be rendered, in the Greek, can be rendered upon your profession. That would be a better translation. Upon your repentance, baptizing them. "But he that cometh after me is mightier than I." And he did come after him. He's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. John was born 6 months prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at the Luke's account in Luke chapter 3, And the first verse there gives some events that are taking place there, and who's in power and king. They've had a change of Herods, King Herods, and so forth from when John was born, when Christ was born, and historians say that's approximately 30, so they place John's age at this time at about 30 years of age. And Christ came along, born 6 months after John. So John was before. He was to that's because he was to prepare the way for the Lord, make ready a people for the Lord. Whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John was the administrator with authority from God of water baptism upon their repentance. He could not bestow the grace of repentance, nor could he punish the impenitent. These things, he said, are out of my hands. I can only baptize those who have repented of their sins. But there is one coming after me. Jesus Christ, He is mightier than I. He has power to give repentance and is going to baptize with water. John chapter 4 says, although Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples baptized, He gave His disciples authority baptize. But He's also going to empower His church, with the energizing Holy Spirit in His work, giving testimony to the fact that it is His church. Christ, in His office and ministry, which was exercised with greater power, greater authority than John. You'll not find John the Baptist doing the works that Jesus Christ did. Why? He lacked the power. He lacked the ability. But Jesus Christ, who was all man, but at the same time was all God, He didn't lack any power to do. And so those, that power and that authority was attended with the mighty works and the mighty miracles which He did, which is spoken of in the book of Acts. Again. But then we must also mention the mighty work of redemption at the cross of Calvary. And then He raised bodily from the dead. He said in the book of John chapter 10, He said, if I have power to lay my life down, I have power to take it up again. The same power with which He laid down His life at the cross of Calvary, He took it up again. He has power. Listen. Listen, sinners. He has power to forgive sins. The book of Matthew in chapter 9 and in verse 6, it says, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Look at the book of Titus. I love this verse here. Verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave Himself for us. He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. That is, that He might purchase us from all iniquity. He might purchase us out of the slave market of sin and purify, cleanse us from our sins unto Himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. John also said in these verses that we looked at this morning, especially verse 12, that He will judge. He's going to be the judge. Listen. John 5 and verse 22 says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Judgment lies in the hands of the Son. And He's going to judge. He's going to judge all men. Hey, listen, we are all going to stand before Him. The repentant and believing at the judgment seat of Christ. The impenitent at the great white throne judgment. But He's going to be the judge of us all. He's going to judge the repentant and believing according to the works done in the flesh. That is, the works for Him that were done for Him in His name in this flesh. And those that were done with the right purpose and right intent, they're going to come forth as silver and gold tried in fire. They're going to remain. But that which was done within purpose, impure thoughts and intents, are going to be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. Then thirdly, He spoke plainly about the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, we read already that Jesus was going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit and with fire. He will do the work of Christ in His behalf. That is, the Holy Spirit was going to do the work of Christ in His behalf after Christ left the scene. In the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 8, He said, or verse 14, He said, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. He's received of Jesus Christ and He's going to show it unto us. That's after Christ leaves the scene. He says, I'm going to leave you another comforter, another go along beside, one who will be here to lead, guide, and teach and instruct, and one to take you and show you My things. Because you're not going to have Me anymore right here dwelling physically among you. But My Spirit is going to be with you. But then He empowered the Lord's church to do the work of Christ. And we read about that. And that's what the book of Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4 and
empowering them, accrediting. Yes, there was a Chicago. entire glory of God accredited this body, this assembly, this church of the Lord Jesus Christ as being His. And giving them the power to work signs and wonders and miracles to testify to the fact that they are His.
Well, He continues to empower that same church today. Oh, we don't have the ability to work signs and wonders and miracles among people today as they did. We don't need that. We have the whole Word of God to expound unto them. But He empowers us. He empowers the church to do what? He empowers the church to preach.
He empowers His church to baptize. And He empowers His church to teach. That is, the Holy Spirit does that.
You see, He gives us the ability to preach. He gives us the ability to baptize. And He gives us the ability to teach. Then fourthly, He spoke plainly about the condemnation of the impenitent and their impending doom. Listen, this was a warning that men need to hear. They need to hear that warning. We are the lost men. We have signed them out. They need to be warned of their impending doom if they don't repent.
Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's right now. Every time the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, every time you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're telling men that they need to repent because it's here. The opportunity is here right now to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But you do it through repentance and faith for the Lord Jesus Christ.
You see? Men need to know that. Man ought to give all to find repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 9, 43, and I believe Matthew chapter 5. I didn't look up the verses there, but just a couple chapters away. We'll be dealing with that in a few weeks probably. But he said he goes through the scenario. If your hand offends you, if your foot offends you, if your eye offends you, then it's better to cut them off and pluck them out and so forth than to enter into unquenchable fire. In other words, a man ought to give all that he has to find repentance. And the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, because His intending doom is to enter the flame where the flame is not quenched, it is not extinguished, it is not put out, and the worm does not know. Man that enters there being the worm, and he does not die. He goes on in that torment forever and forever. You see? And the judgment of Jesus Christ is just. John chapter 5 and verse 30. Jesus said, "My judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." You see? He renders a judgment that is without partiality. It's equal, it's fair, it's right. You can count on that. And then fifthly, He spoke plainly about the safety of true believers. Oh, what joy. What joy. We're all in His threshing floor. The scenario was given to us in the 12th verse. Whose fan is in His hand? He's got the winnowing fan in His hand. We're all saved and unsaved, in his threshing floor. But he throws up the heap to the breeze. He takes a heap and he throws it up into the breeze. And the chaff, or as in another place called it, the tares, are blown off into the fire. And he gathers the wheat into the garner, into the storage house, into the barn, into the gathering place. It's called, I looked it up, it's called heaven. 228 times, 238 times, some number like that in the New Testament. Heaven, did you know that heaven is spoke about more in the New Testament than hell is? Why? That's the place the redeemed of the Lord is going to go. Amen. And just looking at heaven ought to make men desire heaven. All men desire heaven. They're not willing to turn from their sin. Turn to Jesus Christ. You see, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 17, we know those blessed, wonderful passages there. We're waiting for Jesus Christ to appear from heaven in the clouds. And the dead in Christ will arise first, and then we with the remainder will be caught up to be with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Those are comforting words, are they not? We're going to heaven. Well, the wicked may be gathered together with us here, but they'll not be gathered with us there. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part. That is those that are still in that condition. Have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And verse 27 of the same chapter goes on to say, and there shall nothing enter in to the new heaven and the new earth, the new city, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they'll not be there with the saints of God. Oh, they're dwelling with us now, but they'll not dwell with us there. Let me ask you this morning. Have you repented of your sins toward God? And have faith toward Jesus Christ? See, true faith always is accompanied with true repentance. Always. You can't say, oh, I believe, but have never repented. Never turned from your sin. And true repentance always brings forth suitable, fit, fitting fruit, given evidence. In other words, there's a changed life. You think differently, you act differently, you talk differently, you dress differently, you look differently, you smell differently than you used to. Whatever is fitting. Shall we stand and have a song in closing, Brother Mike?
Number 486. 486.